Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, having the Christmas spirit wash all over us. Delightful. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
How did you make it gross this quickly?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's the Christmas spirit washing all over you, Ray.
Spiritual? Yeah. Mm-hmm. People.
I've lost all sense of self after that intro.
I am Robert Clark something, or I don't know. What are we?
Robert Clark Man.
Man.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
TV's Gina Ippolito.
Gina.
Oh my God. You're really gonna do that bit again 2 weeks in a row?
Gina Big Burrito.
I was the one that did it.
I wasn't here last week.
This was Marshall.
Oh, yeah, Marshall did do it. It was Marshall, but you
agreed. Hold on. Whoa, everybody stop. Ray. Everybody stop, because Ray cannot distinguish between two black men on a podcast.
I can't distinguish between when the two of you talk on the podcast.
Are we surprised? This is why you didn't like Sinners.
Mm-hmm. I liked Sinners. I just didn't love Sinners. I think I maybe need to see it again.
Your exact words were, that movie would have been better if it had just been white people.
That is not even what I said. How dare you?
I have a pretty good memory for this thing, sort of thing, and I definitely remember you saying that.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're doing Christmas cheer episodes, nerds, so buckle in. Gina is here this week. She was not here last week. I hope you enjoyed the quartet of my four dads getting together on the show. It was very exciting. I love that episode. It was a lot of
fun. There's four of you now? You're multiplying?
Well, there are when Delvin Cox joins the My Three Dads people.
Wow, you're like gremlins.
In that after midnight, we get wet and then melt.
That's not what happens to gremlins.
How any of that.
No, that you can kill them with water after midnight. Am I making that up? Well, you're the one making the video.
You're absolutely making it up. You have never seen gremlins. You need to go stop doing useless things like football and podcasting and watch it 90 times in a row.
Or you can go watch Wicked, where she gets water splashed on her and then like a whole bunch of tiny Idina Menzels pop out of her back.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I'd watch that.
That was my favorite part of the movie too.
That sounds exciting. Yeah. Anyway, we're watching a Christmas, Chan's Canadian Christmas Challenge, the Triple C.
I mean, look, this is not my fault. This was the Discord that frankly pissed me off. And
wait, are you telling me that you guys didn't find this to be a banger?
I did like it. I liked it. I have thoughts on it because some parts of it don't make a lot of sense to me. And I need to work it through. And I'm glad y'all are here to work it through with me.
Let me tell you, you know when it makes perfect sense and is also a banger? When you watch it on 1.5 speed.
Jesus. Yeah, I should have realized.
The songs must have been intense.
I mean, they were bangers. I hope when Chan plays them, he plays them on 1.5 speed. Because I was rocking out.
I mean, who could blame you for that, I suppose. We're watching Canadian All Canada Christmas. That's our theme for 2025.
Canada.
Our home and native land.
Oh, my first note here is more Canada. Chan?
A lot of 80s late 80s, early 90s animation out of Canada. That was apparently when Canada was founded, and they were founded on cheap animation.
Would you say it was newfound land?
I see.
I don't get it.
You see what I did there, Chan?
No.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. Anyway, so this is Nihilus the Sandman in The Boy Who Dreamed Christmas. How about that?
First off, can we, what the, why is the Sandman a nihilist?
I was trying to figure that. That is a terrible name for the Sandman. Nihilus. Is that like a Marvel supervillain?
It's okay. It's an, it was a show. Like this is not just like a one-off Christmas kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Nihilus the Sandman is like a regular deal.
Yeah, he's
just
a character.
Like, get a bunch of stuff.
It was because this said 1991, but it ran for, it was 2 seasons, 26 episodes.
Oh.
And this was just one of the episodes. And I guess it was sort of a lesson show. There's always a lesson in it.
I think this was the first one.
It's the first episode, yeah.
In 1991, there were two more specials, a Halloween special. Oh,
okay.
A back to school special in 94 and 95. And then the show proper started in 96, 26 episodes. So apparently off the back of this, people are like, oh, you know what the Canadians demand is more nihilists on their TV.
I would buy that, actually. I would buy that Canadians need a little bit more nihilism.
Yeah, yeah. No, I could see that.
And desire it.
I guess. Well, it's live action to start, and that really threw me for a loop. And I was like, Chan, did you feed us, after the Carol Burnett disaster, did you feed us more live action in our cartoon show?
I had looked up the Wikipedia page, so I understood what was going on. But I will say, I wanted this kid to die in a fiery crash. Why is he so old?
Okay, like, hold on a sec. Hold on.
That got weird real quick.
No, he's in this whole thing for like a minute. So why is he like 15 years old? Like, cast like a 7-year-old. If you're going to animate him anyway, I do not buy that this kid still believes in Santa. And it was really weird when he was like, whoa, okay. Like I left a list for Santa. Cause I was like, dude, you're like in college. What are you doing?
No. As a former chubby 10-year-old, I can tell you that this is totally legit. Maybe a little old for Christmas, but not, you know, like we're not even talking about getting into middle school yet. This is still elementary school kid.
This kid could be on a CW show. A 25-year-old playing a high school kid.
Oh my God. What is that? So the kid is mad because Santa might forget all the stuff he wanted. He's supposed to go to bed. And the ADR is out of control.
What the hell?
Like, out of control.
It's like, I guess sort of, I thought that maybe this was kind of the Snoopy adult thing where, you know, all the adults just sound like wah, 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 muted trumpets. Maybe the idea was that these adults sounded like ADR because, you know, they're adults and they're off in a different world. Or maybe because this was horrendously cheaply made,
or because every single shot was over an adult's shoulder while their voice booms like the voice of God in the show. It is outrageous. And then it just cuts to the other parent from behind so that they could blast out some heavy ADR. I was just like, wow, I want this entire thing to be purely ADR'd. We never see a single person speak.
If you didn't write the dialogue and were waiting till the thing was done and then just like had somebody run in and like rip off some shit like right at the end there, at least just adjust the levels, man.
I just looked up this kid to see how old he was when they made it. And he is so smoking hot now. It's insane.
Whoa.
I clicked on it thinking, I don't think this is the same person. But I acquiesce to Chan. He was born in 1980, so I guess he was a chubby 10-year-old when he made this.
He was exactly fucking 10.
Also, he worked on the Umbrella Academy.
Bro, this dude is hunky as hell.
I know, right? Like, what?
This doesn't feel
like,
right.
Like, what? How did that kid become this guy? I guess justice for chubby bucktoothed 10-year-olds, but this guy still
thank
works.
Thank you. Finally, I'm getting my due.
This guy still works constantly and was just on the Umbrella Academy and has since filmed like 20 things after being on the Umbrella Academy. How does this kid have
Canadian the jaw on this guy?
125 credits. That jaw is impressive. It looks like he's got like, you know, when you go to the dentist and they put that like foam thing in your mouth, he's kind of looks like he's always got one in, but I'll be honest, it works for him.
I mean, now I kind of don't want this kid to die in this movie because I want him to turn into Jawman. But when I was watching him, I really wanted him to die.
Man, now this guy's a working TV actor. He does video games. Was in Far Cry 6. Wow.
I mean,
I'm
good
impressed.
For you, dude. Come on our show. Come
you
on
know what?
Our show.
Let's reach out
job.
To him. Chan, can you get our publicist to reach out to Zachary Bennett, please?
Oh, he played Lance on the Umbrella Academy. I recognize this dude.
He's an awful black. We rewatch that show.
Wow. There you go. Good for you. Good for you, boy who dreamed of Christmas or whatever we're watching.
Can I tell you, in a reversal of Gina, my note here, I usually hate kids, but not this one.
Why?
Maybe
because
it's just
like
a Canada thing because he's just a lovable goober.
No, I think he reminds you of you.
No,
because he's got shoes on his bed and he's like trying to hack the system to get more presents. And this seems like a thing young Ray would do.
Yes. I don't know what Chan's trying to play over there, but
you're
trying to play off Gina like it was the Academy Awards.
No, but my cat is.
Excellent.
Cat steps on keyboard. Music starts playing. I'm trying to stop him from destroying this entire GD recording.
Gina, he hasn't had a cat in like 3 years. I mean,
I
like,
know.
What are we doing here?
I was going to say, I didn't want to say anything, but so I have not seen a cat in years.
You haven't seen this cat since he became a gargantuan, I would say, sturdily 18-pound cat.
That's what happens to all your cats. I think you're doing cats wrong.
Yeah, Chan, I don't want to say nothing about nothing, but I can't help it. Every single cat that shows up in your house becomes morbidly obese.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
they just figured out a way to give cats GLP-1, so at least there's hope.
Get some kitty Ozempic over up in there.
They do. I just read an article about it this morning.
Look, so here's the deal. The kid pretends to go to sleep. The parents leave. He bounces out of bed wide awake. He has like headphones on. He's riffing air guitar. He's punching giant punchable clowns. He's on the PC. And this is crazy to me. I somehow in 1991, and I remember the internet wasn't a big thing back in 1991, but he has these bizarre like hand-drawn stock images of presents that he's just clicking through. And I don't get it. And then he prints them out.
Here's the thing. One of the reasons I don't like him, and I realize it's worked into the moral of whatever we're watching, but he is clearly a spoiled kid. He has his own personal computer in his room, which in 1991 was not really a thing.
Look, I love this kid. He prints out that he needs all the things, and then he falls asleep saying, like, I want and I need all the things. And I'm like, great, me too. But then we get animated, and at first I'm like, what is this weird genie doing here? Why is there a weird genie? What are we doing here?
The problem that I had was that, like, this is 1991. The computer graphics sort of back up that it's 1991. I feel like the music is very solidly 1984.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. This feels, I thought this was in the 80s and was only kind of surprised to see it was 91.
Hold on. Let me see if I can catch a snippet of the music because it is very specific, I feel like.
Password, Dancer, and Prancer.
That is absolutely.
That feels early 90s now.
Cartoon music.
Mm-mm. That feels like the 90s riffing on 80s music. Like they used to do like back in 91, 92. And it was sort of just like this faux hip hop aesthetic that was put over everything.
Hmm.
Well, you know, so this was in 1991, but also with how long animation takes it, you know, it could have been made a couple of years earlier. But then it's weird because there was a series of specials. So then it was like 94, 95, 96 to 98. So it is thoroughly enmeshed in the 90s.
Yes. Well, look, so can we hear it's the Sandman. It's not a genie. I was a little weirded out by that. It's the Sandman, the titular Sandman, Nihilus. And at 3 minutes and 25 seconds, Chan, we get the Sandman song, which obviously there's a lot of songs, but they're all very short in this. So yeah. I'm very, very curious. Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm very, very, anything could have happened right
now.
Damn
it.
I'm curious to hear the song, the Sandman intro song.
Oh, would you like me to play it for the next, I don't know, third quarter?
Could you play it for the next 3 minutes, or what is it, 2 minutes and 18 seconds of game time, Chan? That would be very helpful.
Yeah, great.
Just touch my hand and you'll understand. You'll know the Sandman's here.
I mean,
it's... Banger.
It's a banger.
It is what? What? No, it's not. It's what it feels like.
By the way,
is,
this is an English musician in a banger of a band who performed with the Rolling Stones. His name is Long John Baldry.
Uh-huh.
He looks cool as hell. I'm gonna give you his Wikipedia. Why is everyone who worked on this cool as hell?
It's like I'm just thinking, like, man, there's not a whammy in the pack.
I mean, here's the thing. Cool. He was one of the first British vocalists to sing the blues in clubs. So what? Cool.
He was 6'7".
He's a colonial.
Oh, hell yeah. What? Oh, my God. He's saying you've lost that love and feeling.
I mean, like casting a musician to play this role. Inspired. Inspired.
Inspired.
We had that last week as well. And that turned out pretty well.
Don't talk about things from when I wasn't here. Okay?
Well, maybe you should do all the episodes instead of slacking off.
Maybe one of us needs to become the first millionaire in this group, huh?
The problem is it's probably going to be me, and no one's going to be happy about it.
No, absolutely not.
You'll be just so mad. Welcome back to Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Shut up, Ray.
I like that in this millionaire scenario, you're still recording this podcast.
I could, Gina, for real, I could have hundreds of millions of dollars. I would still be recording this podcast. This would probably be all I do, honestly. I'd have the money to make this thing huge and make all of us millionaires. That's the goal.
All right, I'll hold you to it.
The fact that Gina has four jobs and granted she skips weeks on a fairly regular basis, but the fact that she does it at all means that there's some weird suck hole in this thing that keeps us all stuck.
No, I am convinced, and I thought about this actually today. I am convinced that this podcast somehow keeps all three of us emotionally regulated. I believe that.
I don't know about you, but I sure shit ain't emotionally regulated.
No, but like to the level that you're able to be.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
I mean, I'm saying as Chan, obviously all three of us are broken. Irreparably.
And look, case in point, I am not going to, I did not disparagingly say the kid was, let's say husky. But it is a fact that he's a little bit of a chonker. And the fact that his animated version is skinny says that that too. And maybe it was aspirational. He was like, you know what? Someday I'm going to look like the animated version of me. And by God, that's what he did. So good for him.
No, and honestly, like, I don't know about I can't speak of the two of you. I didn't have any notes about his weight at all because, you know, everybody is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
You also wore husky pants, and
no, I don't think I got fat later in life. But I was like rail thin when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah,
bullshit.
I wasn't that tall, and I was rail thin. And then once I got to college, and I was like 19 years old or whatever, 18 years old, I grew like 6 inches, but stayed fairly thin until like I basically quit wrestling like 15 years ago. And then I just let myself go.
Ray, we've known you for 15 years.
I haven't been thin in any of that time, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Chan, I don't even know if Chan knew me when I was wrestling.
No.
So you only know me as a giant monster, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And all of the listeners only know you as a giant
monster. Again, we've established that Chan does this to his cats. Is it possible he's done it to you, Ray?
Oh my God, I hadn't considered it, but now that we're actually looking at it square in the face, I don't see how he hasn't.
I don't know. Are you a little Porco Rosso, Gina?
No, but I think that's why I have to take breaks every once in a while.
That's fair. That's a fair. You know what? Yeah, I get it. Here's the thing. So we're all cartoons. You got Peter, some giant tennis shoe. They're on a cloud. Sandman's there. I'm wondering what's gripping left of my sanity. And I really don't like the Sandman character popping up in front of the camera, winking at it and breaking the fourth wall. That made me very uncomfortable. It broke the moment.
I also noted that I was concerned first off for the talking red Converse, the single talking red Converse. I'm like, what the fuck is that doing here?
Then
Sandman pops out of it and like, okay, why are you in that? And then kid like goes in and there's like fucking magic sand inside it. I'm like, why is that there? And then Fool turns around and winks at me. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I don't like what we're doing here at all. But thankfully the shoe is there because they're about to go flying around in it, obviously.
I mean, I knew that like everything that they placed in this kid's room, I knew that they were going to revisit it. Like I was like, ooh, weird clown, like balloon doll thing next to this kid's bed.
I didn't pick up on that right away.
Red shoe. Yeah, that's shocking. I'm shocked that you didn't pick up on something.
I picked up on it eventually, though, and I was very happy.
What? Once the clown actually appeared?
Wait a minute. Honestly, right when the clown appeared, I put it together. That's great. Red I actually shoe. Have a note right here.
Red shoe boy grows up to be hot. Is this little baby David Duchovny?
Oh my God!
That's
it's a little
joke
baby
for all you
David.
Showtime viewers back in the early 90s.
Wow, I like it. Okay, so they're going to the North Pole to Santa's village.
Hold on, and,
yeah,
because you brought it up. There's a song here.
Clear when you look inside your heart.
I kind of considered that song an extension of the one before it, so I didn't really.
Same.
No, it's very different.
Is it?
Yeah. It's
but Long John Baldry or whatever his name.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. No,
I thought it was a reprise.
Yeah, same.
Here's the thing. Like this song feels like a musical type song to me, a song in a musical where it's sort of like, hello, I am this character. I am telling you what I do and what I am. Like, it felt a little expositional to me. Also, I don't want to say dated, but very of its time, which nothing bad about that. It is what it is. It felt perfunctory is what it felt like for me.
You feel perfunctory.
Your mom is perfunctory.
Shit. I'll tell her next time I talk to her.
They're up in Santa's village, and the Sandman's like, now look out. We're about to open this door. It's going to be crazy busy. You're going to see some shit in there. He's basically saying. And it's like, all right. And then they open the door, and no, there's like nothing happening. Santa is in a drunken, depressed state on his throne. The elves have their heads down. Like, it's crazy. Great. But then he says, oh, you'll get your gifts, but not from me. I didn't really, at the time, I was like, what are you talking about? And I realized this is, Santa's workshop was turned into an Amazon warehouse.
100%.
Yeah, this is late stage capitalism, except we don't have a way out of it.
I mean,
in real life. Our real life is not a boy who dreamed of Christmas.
Gina, there's a way out, but I don't think we're ready to go that far yet.
Santa and his elves have always been a metaphor for late stage capitalism.
That's
I think
true.
Only now are we starting to realize it, or
wait
maybe just because of the cartoons that we've been watching, because last week's also was pretty grim.
The Santa mythos is well before hardcore American capitalism, though, isn't it? Isn't it from like Germany in like the 1600s and stuff?
Yeah, that was back when Santa was just a guy delivering presents that he handmade. And it was, you know, I mean, I guess like they were like the that fucking train, only like wooden or whatever like that. And it Christmas wasn't what it was. It was just like, hey, let's not die of starvation or of frostbite and maybe have a cup of nog.
Okay, I'll go with that. Good job, everybody. Look, so the Toy Master is now in charge. So I'm going to continue the analogy further and say the Toy Master is obviously Jeff Bezos.
Sure.
Jeff Bezos obviously is very welcome to sponsor this show. We love the Amazon. We love the Amazon and the Primes. I'm actually watching Amazon Prime right now.
It's crazy. I have canceled my Prime. I canceled my Prime. We don't shop there anymore. We also don't shop at Target, which is getting to be real aggravating. But
it's a real bummer.
You know, it turns out Costco does a lot of that for us. So
Costco does a lot.
You know, you gotta get used to it. Like that's I can't just go buy DVDs of Ranma 1/2 at 2 a.m. when I get a weird hankering. I gotta plan ahead now.
I love it. Yeah. Here's the deal. When Bezos hears this personally, loves our vibe and decides to sponsor the show, will you get back on the Amazon Prime bandwagon?
I will take his request and I will plaster it all over Blue Sky, which is the only social media I'm still on, and tell him to go fuck himself.
Well, Gina, remember when we were going to be millionaires?
I mean, that my goal is to become a millionaire and kill all the other millionaires until I'm the only one standing, Highlander style, because wow, I think I inherit their wealth if I do that.
I believe that.
I think that's how it should work. I'll start there. You know, St. Luigi should be like a billionaire, right? Is that how it all goes down?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, I call him Saint Luigi. I'm a weirdo. Anyway, so the Santa wanted help. So he built a robot helper.
I thought this was gonna be like an AI thing, like, oh, this is what happens when you let computers and in industrial revolutions take over.
That's kind of exactly what it was though, Chan, wasn't it? Am I crazy?
No, because by the end of it, I was waiting. I was like, okay, well, how are we going to develop this story? And what ends up happening is that the whole lesson of this is don't ask for a bunch of shit on Christmas.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, this kid has no idea how Santa works or parents, because he's waiting until Christmas Eve to request these things, which is not how you do it. You have to make sure to request your toys in advance.
Yeah, that was a little weird too. You don't keep the information to yourself, little Timmy. Or
yeah, I mean, he's got to go sit on Santa's lap somewhere, or he's got to send in a letter, or he's at the very least got to tell his parents to pass the word along. But you don't change your order the night of. But yes, like even his parents, who again I assume are rich because they got him a computer, are like, hey, brat, you know, Santa's probably not gonna be able to get everything you want this year. So he, I think, had already ordered a lot.
And seemingly a lot. But actually it turns out no. As we learn at the end of the movie, no. Look, so they're going to go meet the Toy Master, and I kind of like this bit because it's a little block with TM written on it, trademark, on like a uniwheel, and he rolls out of this castle.
I wanted it to just be that the whole time.
I did too.
Because we've already heard the voice be like, I'm an evil monster. I would be so happy if that little box was like, I am the Toy Master, I rule all, and then just stayed small. Instead of getting big like the big old clown fucking whatever it is.
Here's the deal. I wanted it to be the little box. I'm happy that it was the clown. When it came out, it was the giant inflated clown. I was like, oh, I understand what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
I get it. My note right here says, I get it. Oh, and I couldn't be happier. But it's time to do a tour of the factory. And so what better way to introduce an inflatable clown who comes out of a box on a wheel, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, sentient AI, but with an early 90s rap song? Chan, take us to 9 minutes and 43 seconds, please.
Boy. No, I'm well aware of where the rap starts.
I built those fabulous computers to do the work of fools. They work a thousand times as fast as rusty workshop tools. I take a printout for each child and make a backup file. The efficiency's enough to make the toy man smile. The information goes in a tidy string of codes. A more impressive work of art than Willie Shakespeare's prose. I sort the boys from the girls and the girls from the boys. Once I've indexed all the files, I make a billion toys.
All right.
That was
gender
awesome.
Essentialism aside.
I mean, imagine listening to that on 1.5 speed.
Dude, he's so talented.
I'm just saying.
It's like listening to Watsky.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
here's the deal. I loved it. All capitals. Yes!
Oh, for real?
5 exclamation points. I want more early 90s skilled rap like that in every show we watch, Chan.
Did you just say skilled rap?
That guy was incredible. He was great.
I will let Kendrick Lamar know how he's
let Nas know he has competition, Chan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's part of the high-speed night delivery unit. And so I didn't understand what the problem was. And this is my big issue with it. I liked watching this. I enjoyed it. I liked the characters. But the problem with Toy Master is that he's efficient and productive and gets everybody what they want efficiently. What's the problem? Is just Santa's ego getting in the way at this point?
It is a little muddy because, like, yeah, for all from the children's point of view, they're getting everything they want. The drawback is that this guy doesn't treat the elves well. And we all have fucking iPhones in our pockets. So clearly we have no problem with foreigners getting exploited so that we can have things. But I guess in 1991 in Canada, they're like, you know what? We still think this is wrong. So let's make a cartoon about it.
Is this going to become you soapboxing about how Trump needs to stop deporting Santa's elves so he has enough workers to make capitalistic toys?
Listen, we've already lost two rants. the internet connectivity issues. So you know what? Maybe that was in there. Who knows?
Probably for the best.
You know what? Here, what I'm noticing right now is who handles the internet connectivity? Probably AWS. AWS, Amazon services. Yeah. Chan talking smack about Bezos got flagged, and anytime he's about to just get ahead of steam, they just shut him down.
That makes more sense than I would like it to.
I don't think I'm a look. There's a not zero chance I'm right. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay, the kid sucks. There's red alerts everywhere. There's a wrench that ends up in the clock, which is in fact Toy Master's own fault. The tour is over, and I just wrote here. Yeah, man, I get it. If you had a kid walking through your factory with Santa, and then two red alerts go off, and you almost like lose pieces of your machine, like you end the tour. This guy, he closes. I like Toy Master. I'm a big fan.
I see.
Which
he's
takes
on the
us
Toy Master side.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Grab your gift list and hurry into Circuit City's holiday sale. Save on this GE 4-head VCR with on-screen programming. Now just $299. And this JVC portable stereo system, now an incredible $48. The holiday sale, going on now at Circuit City. The intelligent choice for Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho!
Now back to G.I. Joe.
I mean, 1209
Santa song, Chan. Light it up.
What?
1209. Santa's gonna sing.
This is why you request ahead of time.
Lord.
This is why I put it in my notes with a timestamp now.
It has no feeling, no spirit.
In days gone by on Christmas Eve, we'd pack the old sleigh for the journey. Off into the night, how we were a sight. But life is much different than before.
Ooh!
You see, they all wanted more.
He could
they
sing.
They wanted much more than the children before them ever dreamed of. They all wanted more.
I will say, this song I actually thought was effective.
You like the ballads, huh?
I don't normally like the ballads, which is why I was surprised. And also, for the most part, I did not care for or was just like wholly indifferent to the song, most of the other songs to this point. But here I was like, oh, this is pretty heartfelt. The performance was solid. And right. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So like Santa's doing this thing. And then like the kid just asks more and more and more of him. And he just feels real bad that he can't do it. And also that like it's not special anymore. People just like, you know, look at the best catalog and just like, I want that, and that. I don't know how many of you give your kid the Amazon catalog now.
Every year.
I didn't know there was an Amazon catalog.
Yeah, you know that you used to get the Sears catalog all the time?
I mean, I remember the Sears catalog.
Every year it had the cool toys in it.
I didn't know it was still a thing.
Well, it's the spirit of that. And it's the Amazon catalog. And I think, who else? We get a couple more from different sites.
Is it a physical print thing?
Yeah, physically printed, sent to our house, the Amazon like gift catalog.
Yep. Wow.
It's got toys all over it. Also, they make a reference to the Christmas Star Express. And after last week's Christmas Express train thing, is this like a Canadian? I'm trying to see it. Is this like Canadian Christmas mythos? Like, there's this train that only Canadians know about. Because it seems like it's a thing. The kid has a solution, and Gina, I know you must have an opinion on this. The solution for all of this, and again, everybody's about to get everything they want on their Christmas list efficiently. And Santa's sad about it because he's not involved in the process. So Santa's happiness, work happiness, is worth more than all the children's wishes in the world.
So you're a fan of AI.
I'm not a fan of AI.
Sounds like you are.
But I don't think he's killing the planet to make all these toys. I mean, there is a lot of pollution, but it's at the North Pole where pollution doesn't really hurt anything.
Here's the thing. I feel like the problem, and maybe it's just that we're 30 years on now and it isn't as effective, but I feel like they didn't make a really good case for Santa.
That's my point.
Again, like the Toy Master is fulfilling all these children's wishes, and the downside is real small. And then all we have is just like, well, Santa's sad and the elves are kind of sad. But this is literally, yeah, like a billion kids or something. So
you like the Nazi clown. So Chan likes Nazis. Ray loves AI.
Look, am I a fan of Nazis and racism and fascism, all that? 100%. That's Jesus. Not relevant to my point here, which is just that the writing, like, it didn't do the job.
And this is it. The kid's idea is, let's just eliminate everything but one or two toys off every child's list so Santa can like wrap his head around it and get those presents out. Never mind all of the disappointed children in the world.
Now, like at that point, like that is reasonable. Just ask for less because whatever. And so like I see that point, but they're not, like I said, saying that like materialism is bad, like being selfish is bad, always wanting more and consuming more and more is bad. The cartoon doesn't say any of that. It says specifically, do not ask for a lot of toys on the Christmas gift that you are sending to Santa, period.
Yeah.
And it's so narrow a lesson that I'm like, clearly the creator of this had a specific beef with his child.
Yeah,
and created an entire fucking cartoon series to deal with it.
I mean, listen, that's the beauty of being a writer. If I want to write a show about one really talented and hot podcaster and her two buffoonish clown, you know, Cro-Magnon men that she podcasts with, I can do that.
Yeah, then you write only murders in the building.
The problem is that we won't get cast in those roles when the show airs, which
hell
is...
Hell no.
No, they're going to cast like good-looking people.
No, it'll be like, what's his
name?
It'll
be Eugene Levy's kid. That's who's going to play me. Let's just keep it real.
No, it's going to be that comedian, Brian... what's his name? Brian. It's like, Ray, you're going to be Brian Posehn.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Ray,
yeah,
probably. Chan, you're going to be the ghost of Captain Lou Albano.
Oh, I was going to say Chan is played by Zach Cherry from Severance. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Chan wishes.
I tell you you're wrong.
That's a very talented actor, just for the record.
No, he's a very talented actor. And hey, like he does the Great American Baking Show. Like he's got it going on.
I did not know he did that.
Yeah, you got to get a Roku, man.
I have a Roku. I'm not watching the right things. Okay, so the kid, and I don't even know his name. I have it written somewhere.
I think it's Peter or something.
Peter, thank you. So Peter runs into the control room of the Toy Master's lair and just starts like canceling his own presents off his own Santa Christmas list, which causes entire patches of the factory to like disintegrate. And I don't understand what the one-to-one is here, how one affects the other so dramatically.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Again, just oddly written. My only issue with this whole thing was like the kid says that he's deleting among the things he's deleting is the air hockey set and like a robot or whatever, and then a ghetto blaster. And I kind of forgotten
ghetto blasters.
That's kind of racist, isn't it?
Not in 91. That's just what they were called.
Yeah,
100% not 91.
Something else in 91.
What? I just mean looking back in 2025. It's not great.
We call can't look at this with 2025 eyes.
I am, and I'm judging.
No, I mean that's fine. Look, there was cultural racism in the early 90s. Chan, I don't know what to tell you. It's regrettable.
Also, there was regular racism, just racism.
You know what? I saw a thing that was like, I really feel like the Matrix was a victory lap because we'd really solved many of the problems, quote unquote, and that like we were actually looking like we were building towards like a better millennia coming up, and like we were ready to like, you know, get rid of racism to the best we can. And it was sort of like it wasn't cool to be racist, and like we were really like changing attitudes, and then 9/11 happened or something, and I don't know how the F we got back to where we are right now, because this is atrocious.
Before 9/11, somebody got elected president, which was felt very step sketchy. Backwards.
Listen, we don't have to take our shoes off at the airport anymore. I'm pretty sure that means 9/11 never happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've already forgotten what I was supposed to remember. Was I never supposed to remember? I forget.
Something about elephants.
So must be.
Yeah, it makes sense. So he finds his bike and he's like, oh, but that's the bike I wanted. I really want that bike. And he says, okay, somehow this computer genius Peter set it up so all I have to do is press one button and it just accomplishes the end game I want for every child on the globe. So he presses the one button to eliminate all the excess gifts outside of one or two items for every child in the world. And my next note here is, what a giant asshole. This is why I didn't get a USS flag.
You should have put it at the top of your list, asshole.
Look, I really wanted that ghetto blaster, Chan.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then he kicks them out. The Toy Master kicks them out. He's on his bike. And they say, man, Christmas is ruined. and I have it all caps. I do not understand why Christmas is ruined right now if the plan to eliminate all the presents failed. I'm really struggling with this plot point.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Because he kicks them out and he says, you get your bike.
Yeah.
And you get out of here.
Yeah.
But and he's all already upset. Like Toymaster wins.
I think he's already deleted all of the stuff.
No, because it doesn't end officially until he rams the bike into the clock mechanism, exploding the factory.
Well, no, that's because doesn't the clown master like does something? Like he's like basically like, oh no, we're gonna make the toys anyway.
Yeah, he's like, we can still get this done tonight. It's just going to be harder. We have 60 seconds and then we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole point is that kids are greedy and they're going to keep being greedy as long as they keep getting everything that they want. So you've got to teach them that they can't get everything that they want and you got to blacken their eyes every now and then.
Oh my goodness. All right.
That's the lesson that I took away.
All right, Tony Soprano, calm down over there. So the factory explodes and then they're like, all right, Santa, you're back on. And in my head, I'm like, it was literally 60 seconds to go time. Shouldn't Santa be deeply unprepared for this moment? But they open the door and it's like, now we have a rift that we like went backwards in time, Superman 4 style. And Santa is prepared and has been making toys this whole time in preparation of this. We saved Christmas, everybody. And I don't understand how.
I mean, it's fucking Christmas magic. Child sacrificed the one thing he really wanted most so that he could save Christmas. Christmas is saved. My only issue is that when Sandman's all like, get ready, it's going to be a fucking madhouse in there. He opens the door and there's like three elves. Three elves and Santa.
Right.
Just, like working at a normal pace.
Three elves, one cup? Matter.
Yeah.
Three elves, one.
They're all shitting snow into a little cup and licking it.
Oh man,
like cherry flavored.
Jesus, man.
That was too far.
Was it? You don't think that those little elves shit like a Snoopy snow cone machine into a little cup? One of them like whittles on it, and it turns out to be like a tiger's blood flavor or whatever, and just have a good old time with a snow cone.
Like tiger's blood flavor, like the red snow cone flavor.
What do you think elves pee? I know you've thought about this, Ray. I know you have.
They pee Diet Mountain Dew. What do you mean? Of course.
Oh, I think it's like peppermint or something. But maybe peppermint schnapps if they've been drinking.
Jesus Christ.
You don't think it's peppermint? What do you think it is?
I just told you. It's that syrup that you put on the snow cones.
But that sounds like it would hurt coming out of your pee hole.
No.
Yeah, sweet, you know what? Delicious. That would hurt coming out of your pee hole, Gina. Yeah.
It's so thick.
Jesus, Gina. Come on, dude.
You're going to get that clipped and put on
the internet. Clipped for someone's ringtone.
Oh, no. I regret everything.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're getting towards Gina's time, so let's race to the end here because we go back to live action.
Except for the part where, like the elf, I figured it out eventually, but for a long time there when the elf was like shining or polishing something on the reindeer, I'm like, is that the reindeer's enlarged scrotum?
Jesus.
God's name is going. And then I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. The reindeer head is like head turned and then like he whips around like, oh, that's the front of him. I guess that makes more sense. I was concerned for the urological health of Rudolph as well, is what I'm saying.
You know what? Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Why not? We're back to live action. We get our call back to the Christmas Express because gets it. It was one of Santa's favorite gifts earlier. He gets it as a gift. He didn't get the bike, which is outrageous to me. He saved Christmas. Get him a goddamn bike, Santa. Brother, what are we doing here?
This is the difference between an American cartoon and a Canadian one, because in the American cartoon, he made a sacrifice and he, in return, gets the thing that he wants. And the fact that the Canadians were like, nope, he lost it and that's the end. Goodbye. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, it's dark. It's not Astro Boy Christmas dark, but it's dark. And that's it. 1991's whatever we're calling this thing, Nihilus the Sandman, so popular. And to be fair, with that vocal talent, I could see why they kept getting more episodes just based on that alone.
I mean, it wasn't too bad. There are worse things that could happen. Again, I liked this better than I liked the one from last week. So
yeah, it's better than the trolls. This one at least made a little bit more sense. There was a little bit more production quality behind it. And I did. I enjoyed this one. The trolls one was fine. This one, I actually was like, you know what? I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. It was fine. I liked it. Gina, where are you at with this one?
I think they pee peppermint.
That would hurt so much.
No, like, you know, peppermint flavored pee.
Candy cane sticks like coming out of their urethras?
No, not like I could see Chuck Palahniuk writing about how some boy shoved a candy cane up his pee hole and then shattered it.
Oh my God, no.
That's the kind of stuff he writes about.
Well, that's upsetting to me. I don't want to know what
he's... Well, then don't read any Chuck Palahniuk novels.
Does he write about little elves licking their chops as they're polishing up a sweaty ball sack?
I mean, I'll be honest, honestly,
now that I'm seeing it, yeah, that does look like a nut sack.
Yeah, I actually did like sort of register whatever this was. Why is that one so large? Like that reindeer needs to get his prostate checked.
Even when I'm looking at it and I sort of know what's happening, I still don't understand what that is. Like it's not a bell. What the fuck is it?
I mean, I'm assuming it's supposed to be some sort of like harnessy thing or something. Like the front of a harness that connects to the next reindeer. But really, I think it's supposed to be a bell. It's just that they made it giant. Like when a dude has one giant nut and one regular size nut.
I mean, you could be talking about anybody right now. I guess that's Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Oh my God. Chan's mic went out. He doesn't know we're wrapping it up and we're going to be stuck here forever.
Forever.
My goodness, Chan. Let me guess. That was the cat.
For fuck's sake.
So anyway, you're Chan. You heave that cat like 50 yards.
Yeah, I know. That's what it sounded like.
Throwing a Hail Mary down the field.
I mean, he went about 3 feet because, again, he's so fucking fat.
He's large.
Well, that's a you problem. That's your fault. That's not the poor cat's fault.
Agree to disagree.
I love it. Love it. Not throwing cats. The Lions just had a big play. The point I'm trying to make here.
Okay. So I'm dealing with this disaster piece of a cat. You're watching the Lions game. Is Gina even paying attention?
No,
I'm going to need Gina to carry this episode, unfortunately.
I'm working on a Gremlins essay.
Welcome to podcasting while we do other things. The knowing is half the podcast guarantee.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Brentfast. Every week is a new episode of Brentfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Brentfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Brentfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Brentfast time. Brentfast with Brent Pope, available at Brentfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.